Right, the new verse for today, the new verses. As regards application authentic in its mode, the approach involves a fourfold theme as well. Application involving something to focus on. Application involving nothing to focus on. Application devoid of focus or serving as focus. Application whose focus is nothing to focus on. Here the approach as pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts. Because with respect to the nature one dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature, and because with respect to the freedom from any appearance, what do as two as expressions formed on that model, as faculties, objects, and form awarenesses, and as vessel-like worlds appearances not exist, and hence towards which there is no examination, no description, no ground, no appearance, no form awareness, as well as no ground and what are referred to thus, are traits defining the non-conceptual original knowledge as this is expressed in the sutras. Because with respect to appearance phenomena all appear to equate with the sender of open space, and because all formations appear in such forms as illusion, and because all formations appear in such forms as illusion.
Nam da tu trum zir zi sa zi de Deng zi pa me ra leng ge ben zi Si ram zi de na ve chi ge Tum jo ten ken ro la za pa Lu ka zi zi so pa jin Zang bi zi pe chi zi yin ge tam Jer ve yab da jor jan jar zi Ma ve sing ge tu mi lo zi Ri ka sa o men ra dam pe zi Sim ni lan zi lo ra tra ma zi Dijin kujin dreva dhanze ba yung zin la manju parje la Lai ke dan la dan da jin ki chum ta tam me ye ke nan da Rova kan je dra ke cha tam tam je ke da da ke ju tam yung da
Ho la so tan rova nam kan ta ta nyam pa sim jin tam je ju tong do Si ki nyi jin ta la mene pa yang ta pa zo pa san je ju kong pa nam bo ju dra parje Te che to tambe chu la tu sang gong sum ju chun bari ge wo nyam pa sam pa sang ju chu to tuk je pa ngun to tang te zem bari.
It is for the sake of sentient beings countless in number as space is limitless in extent that the aim of perfect and complete Buddhahood which transcends the extremes of conditioned existence and mere pacification is to be accomplished. And the procedure for doing this is the exertion put forth in listening, reflecting, and meditating on genuine teachings. And so with this as the aim and procedure in mind, Rinpoche asks us to begin with developing the precious resolve to enlightenment, the bodhicitta.
Tā tērīṃ tsāpa sāp jē sūmbā rē, sūmbā yāṃ tāpa jōrvā lāñjūpā rē, yāṃ tāpa yī jōrvā lāñjūpā. Yāṃ tāpa jōrvā lāñjūpā lā, yāṃ tāpa yī jōrvā lāñjūpā yāṃ nā nāṃ jītē. Mēkpā yē nā jōrvā tāṃ, mē mēkpā yī jōrvā tāṃ, mēkpā mē mēk jōrvā tāṃ,
So the point that we have arrived at in the outline is the third point dealing from among the six that deal with non-conceptual wisdom, which is the support for the transformation. And this point then is expressed as follows in the root verse. As regards application authentic in its mode, the approach involves a fourfold theme as well. Application involving something to focus on, application involving nothing to focus on, application devoid of focus or serving as focus, application whose focus is nothing to focus on.
Dela tangbo ta jorba ye de kar sa na tangbo mekpe jorba de re tangbo mekpe jorba ne tangbo ru chu tam ke sem tsan do mekpa ye ne jorba la jupa ta.
So then in speaking of genuine application of mind, then what is meant with the first one, which says the application involving something to focus on, is as follows. It is the approach as pertains to an application in which it is all phenomena, being merely mind, which is focused on.
Chutamje sentant make jorval lanjubala, then chutamje bakyaka wanga, bakyaka wanga, turbanama in Turkigo.
So, in order to understand this, what is meant by applying one's mind to focusing attention to the fact that all phenomena are merely mind is meant that it is due to habitual tendencies from the mind that there is this appearance which is a deluded appearance. And this is what is referred to here. What is meant by all phenomena in this case is everything which appears as as the dualism of perceived and perceiver. So given all phenomena which appear as the duality of perceived and perceiver, these are focused on as being merely mind, since they are emanated from the or they derive from the habitual tendencies through which they appear in a deluded form.
And
so it is precisely because that it is necessary as the first step in this development to be able to direct one's attention to the fact that all apparent outer phenomena are in fact only mind, that the text distinguishing the nature of phenomena begins by this detailed description of the way in which the mind is deluded with respect to dualistic appearance.
Tanyeba memek bejorwate re memek bejorwate telatine tela karalate barasana chu tamje semtam to chu tamje semtam to mek bejorwalatine zoam memek pa ye jorwalan jopata chu tamje semtam to mek pa semtam to to na jumtin telatine de.
So Then the next line says the application involving nothing to focus on, and what that refers to is based on the first one, that is based on the ability to apply one's attention to the fact that all phenomena are merely mind, then there is nothing as a perceived object per se which exists to be focused on.
Tene zonwa mamek pe jorwa siji to karre se na siru zonwa yonam sem tsanji yinpe se na sem le yin to siru to mado par togu.
So what this means then is that since all everything that appears to be outer perceived object is in fact only mind, there are no objects existing as something different from mind or as separate from mind. So, for example, the appearances in dreams, since these are nothing other than mind, they do not exist as outer objects.
Zonwa mamek pe jorwa, zonwa madro pe jorwa, zonwa sirur to madro patwen da chikpa yungre.
So in this case then, what is referred to as an application involving nothing in the form of a perceived object to focus on is equivalent to saying that no outer objects exist. On the other hand, it is if one does not understand that outer objects are merely mind, then one will not be able to get the point as to there being no perceived object on which to focus, whereas if one understands that outer objects are merely mind, then it will follow of itself that there are no perceived objects on which to focus.
Dene jorwa jorwa somba te mikpa mamek bi jorwa re mikpa mamek bi jorwa te telatine se zoa mamek pe jorwa latin te mikpa mamek se mikpa de karre sa na zoa la mikpa zemba te zoa la mikpa yimbe se na mikpa ki somba re
So then, based on that, then the next line of the root follows. Application devoid of focus or serving as focus. So based on that means based on there being no perceived object on which to focus, then it follows that there is no focuser as regards a perceived object. There's no focuser related to a perceived object. So this is the application in which no perceiver of a perceived object exists to be focused on.
Taz zoa mamek par to na zoa mamek pam zoa siru to madro par to na jembe zoa la mikpa deyam jembe zoa la mikpa se na Zimbe zonwa le mikpe se na zimba nyeja madro pato kore.
So then based on there being no perceived object on which to focus, then a focus directed towards a perceived object on the part of a perceiver also does not exist. So if there is no outer object existing to be towards which one could direct one's attention, then also the perceiver does not exist to be focused on.
Pena malam ngoki ba yina meto andata ba tang na malam ngoki na meto andata ba malam da tang na ngoki ba yina malam yin be jumthin la ten de meto te sem chang do to malam je meto sem chang do to kwa la ten de malam je meto da sarur do ma do bar to malam je meto te sarur do me pe jumthin la ten de Meto lamikpe zemba zemba nyejang mato pato kare. Kirap ji jepa jie na? Oya.
So then, if we take the example of the flower appearing in the dream, and the case in which one recognizes that it is a dream, so in recognizing that it's a dream, one sees that the flower does not exist as an outer object which one could focus on as if it were separate. And since there is no perceived object existing there as a separate object of focus, then also the perceiver of that, when examined and analyzed using one's analytical powers, one's intelligence, this perceiver also collapses as a factor. So given the lack of true existence of the perceived object, the perceiver of it also loses its validity.
Tene zungzi ni mado pare. Zemba mado pato pa tela tene, tene zungzi kangdo yang mamek pare. Zungzi kangdo yang mamek pase na. Zungzi kangdo yang mamek na. Tene zungzi kangdo yang mamek paam. Zungzi lende ebe se na. Zungzi lende ebe te yi ni la. Mekpe jorvato pare.
Hindi ako matok pekaps.
Zungzhen le trabare. Zungzhen kangdo yang ma meba zungzhen dang trabare. Zungzhen le deba te yinyi. Zungzhen le deba te yinyi la mikpa jorwa la njuku tsor. Zungzhen yi le deba te kona nyi dogre. Zungzhen yi ma meba zungzhen yi le deba te yinyi togba la, to toba la, tene danda mikpa jorwa zere.
So then the last one then is the one which says application whose focus is nothing to focus. Application whose focus is nothing to focus on. And what is meant by that is that based on for the reason that there is no perceived object existing on which one could focus, and therefore no perceiver on which one could focus, then, in fact, it eludes this duality of perceived and perceiver. It transcends this duality of perceived and perceiver, and that is what is referred to here as the suchness or the nature of phenomena. Which is described as the application whose focus with regard to the suchness is that in which there is no perceived or perceiver whatsoever on which to focus. So in this case, then, the object of focus is the suchness, or the nature of phenomena, and that nature of phenomena itself transcends the duality of perceived and perceiver. So if then we go through this progression, taking them all in order, then for the reason that all phenomena appear due to the habitual tendencies of the mind, then all everything which could exist as an outer perceived object has no existence in that form. And since there is no outer perceived object existing, then also there is no perceiver existing on which one could focus. This is then the accomplishment of the focus related to the suchness, which itself transcends a perceived and perceiver of any sort on which to focus.
Dokso nikena pakyak nama pakyak nama yimbar mato na zungzin ji chue na sem cham to tog mar zungzin ji chue na sem cham da mato na zuwa sir to da mato pa to tog mar zuwa sir to da mato pa mato na zuwa la mek pen zemba mato pa to tog mar zuwa la mek pen zemba yang mato pa mato na zungzin ni me ba to tog mar zungzin ni me ba mato na zungzin len de pe chu ni to tog mar.
So if we then, in order to clarify it, reverse the statement and see what it would look like on the other side of that moon, if one does not understand that appearances are due to the habitual tendencies of the mind and do not exist as outer objects but are mere mind, then one will not understand that there is no perceived object on which one could focus one's attention. And in not understanding that there is no perceived object on which one could focus attention, then one will also not understand that there is no perceiver related to that. And in not understanding the absence of perceived and perceiver, one will be unable to understand that which transcends the duality of perceived and perceiver, in which case one will not accomplish the suchness which it transcends the duality of perceived and perceiver.
Jima.
Okay, so we could we could also examine this going from the top downwards in the following way. If one given suchness, it is difficult to realize because it is very difficult to realize the transcendence of duality of perceived and perceiver. And because it's difficult to realize the transcendence of duality of perceived and perceiver, it's also difficult to realize that a perceiver could not exist in relation to a perceived. And because it is difficult to realize that a perceiver does not exist as an object of focus, it is also difficult to understand how a perceived object could not exist as an outer object. And since it is difficult to understand how perceived objects do not exist as outer, we also do not get the point that perceived objects are merely mind. And because we do not understand that they are merely mind, we do not see, or it is difficult to see, that appearances are the mere deluded projections of the habitual tendencies. So the suchness is extremely profound and subtle, and therefore is the way of realizing it is not easy. Is extremely difficult due to the profundity of the suchness itself. So we could investigate this again. Given suchness, it is extremely profound. Given the suchness, this extremely profound and subtle way of understanding yes, given the suchness, this extremely profound and subtle way of understanding is necessary because the transcendence of the duality of perceived and perceiver is extremely profound and difficult to understand. And because that is so difficult to understand, then also the existence of perceiver with an essence of its own is extremely is an extremely profound statement which is difficult to fathom, and Since we do not understand that a perceiver does not exist with an essence of its own, then the perceived object not existing as an outer thing is very subtle and profound, difficult to understand. And since we do not understand that understand that there is no perceived object on which to focus, and in not understanding that there is no perceived object on which to focus, the fact that appearances occur in the first place due to habitual tendencies is a profound point which eludes us.
Pakyakawang and Trusur Kibati Hindu Kartimbuinde Pakyakawang and Trusur Mahina Chutamti Semzando Madobese.
Yeah. Drupse Chutamchi Chuchin Toksu Toks. Triple talks of machine.
Pakyakawang and Trusur Hiba de Karsimbu Inde Pakyakawang and Trusur Machina Chutamje Semzando Matobus.
So, given all phenomena, it is important to understand the way in which they are produced through habitual tendencies, because if one does not understand the way in which they so if one does not understand that they are produced through the habitual tendencies of the mind, then one will not be able to understand that that all phenomena are merely mind. So, given the understanding that all phenomena are merely mind, this is an extremely important point to fathom, because it is through understanding that, it is through understanding that all phenomena are merely mind, that one comes to see that there is no perceived object existing outwardly.
Zoma sarar tonda madra par tokpa chuchin. Karche hindo karche bu yinte. Zoma sarar tonda madra par mato na zemba dembar madra par to mato bese. Zoma sarar tonda madra par tokpa. Tokpa tere wo chuchin de tokpa re. Zuma sarar tonda madra par tokpa chuchin. Te karchen bo. Te hendo karchen bo yinde. Zuma sarar tonda madra par mato na. Zemba madra par. Zemba dembar madra par matobase. To matobase.
And given the understanding that perceived objects do not exist outwardly, this is an extremely crucial understanding, because if one does not understand that they do not exist outwardly, then one will also not be able to realize that the perceiver has no existence.
Tan zemba madro par zemba ranga ngowu madro par tokpa chuchin tokpa tari tokpa hip tokpa chuchin kar hendo kar chenbu inde. Zemba ranga ngowu madro par mato na
So given the realization, given the understanding that the perceiver does not exist with an essence of its own, this is an extremely crucial understanding, because if one does not comprehend that the perceiver has no true existence, one will not be able to realize the that which the suchness which transcends perceived and perceiver.
Kindo karchimbo yinde zungze nimi mato na zungze nilende pe chuyin muto bse.
And given the understanding of that which transcends perceived and perceiver duality, this is an extremely crucial understanding, because if one understands the transcendence of perceived and perceiver, one will realize the expansive qualities, the Dhamma Dhatu, which transcends duality.
Zungzen nimi ji chuyen tokpa chuchin. Hindu karchenpo yinde, zungzen nimi ji chuyen mato na nimi ji yehi ngontu majurvasa.
And given the understanding of the expansive qualities which transcends the duality of perceived and perceiver, this is an extremely crucial understanding, because if one does not understand the expansive qualities transcending the duality of perceived and perceiver, one will not realize the non-dual original knowledge. Because if one realizes the expansive qualities transcending the duality of perceived and perceiver, one will actualize the non-dual original knowledge. So given this non-conceptual original knowledge, this is so given this non-conceptual original knowledge, it is of the utmost importance, because if one does not realize the non-conceptual original knowledge, if one realizes the non-conceptual original knowledge, then one will accomplish the original knowledge of a Buddha, which is omniscience with respect to all aspects, all forms.
Telen zemba mame bato kawaso so jiser korem yen to joy lache sorte remba yen to joy lache sorte tambo chu tamje sem chando to sem chamje jum sinje tene zoa rangye me bato zoa rangye me bata mama tena yere korem yen to joy lache sorte korem yen to joy lache sorang rakpa rakpa to te yuma thawa thawa Tava Tava Toktor De Dro Nama Topeting in Zin Dro Nama Topeting in Zin Sosu Sungba Tang Son Rao Dro Nama Topeting in Zin Hippen Doyere Tele Sungba Tang Sungba Sungba Tang Ravaris.
So then, in this connection, it is easy to understand. Since it is easy to understand that outer objects do not exist with any substantial nature or substantial essence, then through that one will be able to understand that which is difficult to realize, namely that the perceiver does not exist as an object of focus, and so on. These are presented, the various stages of this are presented in the order that they arise in one's mind stream. They are the order in which they become accessible in the mind stream, or the natural order of their availability in one's mind. For example, since the easiest one to understand is that there is no existence of outer objects, they are merely mind. The easiest one to understand is that phenomena are merely mind, and then through understanding that, it becomes easier to fathom that a perceived object could have no substantial essence of its own. And in fathoming that, one can easier see how the perceiver could not exist, and so on. So it is in the order of accessibility, or the natural order of their rising into mind, that these are presented in the samadhi, which attains the appearance of warmth. And this is the title of one of the sutras. So this explanation is given in the sutra entitled The Samadhi, or the Mind Absorption in Which One Attains the Appearance of Warmth. Application authentic in its mood. The approach involves a fourfold theme as well. Application involving something to focus on. Application involving nothing to focus on. Application devoid of focus or serving as focus. Application whose focus is nothing to focus on. So then the fourth point in the outline deals with the defining traits of non-conceptual original knowledge, which are defined as follows. Here the approach as pertains to defining traits. So here the approach as pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. So this is the first of these three parts.
Namba somji hipar sate, tokbar sate, chunyi ranga ngô la nebin sanyi ta, chunyi te, chunyi ranga ngô la nebin sanyi, chunyi ranga ngô ang, ranga rangyin ang, ranga nelok le muyoba nebin sanyi ta. Tela se, chunyi tela nami de yakbin sanyi ta, gomba kapso nami ji tingi jire nami de yakpen chenyi dang na je se yakpen chenyi na je so yakpe chenyi to dang chenyi to ti pat dang
so then
somse
So with respect to these defining traits, the approach in understanding them involves three points one has to know. And these three could be presented briefly in the following terms. There are the defining traits associated with dwelling in the essence or nature or fundamental ground of the nature of phenomena itself. Then there are the defining traits which apply in the case in which there is no appearance. So this refers to the meditation and the phase of the meditation in which one is resting in a samadhi or a mental absorption in which there is no appearance occurring. And thirdly, the defining traits which apply to the case in which one is or there are appearances. So the defining traits which apply to the case in which appearances occur. So there are these three.
Som je na ne tambo chuni rang ng ol ne ben chini ne tambo. Chu tam je ji chuni, chu tam je ji ne lo. Tei ni de la, tei ni si ji de tei le yin dun jua me ba le. Tei ni de la. Neba ni le ne te ye ni te ngang do ne no neba ni le ne zung zeng ni su lu ye me ba zong wa dang zeng ba ni su lu ye me ba den ba ni su lu ye me je den ba ni su ye me ye ba me ba ye me je nga gen tham Nagan tham, Nagalani, Namba Kangdo Yang, Yoda may be chini la rab the nebisao. Nagan tham, Nagan Namba Kangdo Yang, Yoda may be chini la rab the neba. Chini rangang over there, then a Yoda may be.
Then a decaf soon pass in a Nagita.
Nagan tham, Nagalam, Nag. Naga Tasaja, the Naki Jodhme between that. Naki Kandesi sent a young Jodhme.
Oh, no, sir.
Do you sir Kandesi sent a young Jodhme?
Oh, no, sir. So the first of these, then. So the root text says, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. And this is defined in the commentary, or expanded in the commentary in the following way. So this first, the defining traits of this first case is the one in which the one which refers to the actual resting, or the actual dwelling, the actual abiding, the actual absorption into the suchness or nature of all phenomena. So what is meant by suchness? Rinpoche explained as suchness means it is such as it is. It doesn't change into something else. So it is such as it is. This is the suchness. And from the point of view of actually resting in that nature of all phenomena, there is no division or discrimination or distinction being made by the intellect into two. There is no intellectual distinction into two, neither into the two as being perceived and perceiver, the duality of perceived and perceiver, nor an intellectual distinction made with respect to the two truths. So one is not dividing these with one's intellect in this state, and what one is resting in cannot be expressed in any way whatsoever using the devices or operations of speech. So the nature in which one is resting is inexpressible. And resting in this way is precisely what is meant by resting in the nature of phenomena.
Pandor dona zungzin dang zungzin ni len de gen denba ni su yer me ba nga ge jo de me pe chuni de chuni ran kon wo de.
So the very essence of the nature of phenomena is the freedom from splitting with one's intellect, dividing with one's intellect between the two truths, or intellectually devising the duality of perceived and perceiver, or how can we say, the essence of the nature of phenomena is not distinguishing with one's mind between the two truths and the perceived and perceiver as being two, and the essence of the nature of phenomena is inexpressible.
Tene chunye ranga ngo te zungzen len deba yinpe jumsen len ten te jorwa ye kapsu yang ma ne ite jorwa zungzen ni jorwa ye kapsu yang zungzen ni ma me kwe
So then this definition given here links up with the fourth of the four types of application of mind we heard previously. And it is for the reason given here, since the nature of phenomena, since the essence of the nature of phenomena is free of the duality of perceived and perceiver, it is therefore necessary in terms of one's meditation to apply the mind when meditating on the suchness, one applies the mind in a way in which there is no duality of perceived and perceiver being focused on.
Tene zongwa tan zimba tsorje tokpa, zongzengje tsorje tokpa tamje chuyeng tokpa mare, karre sana zongzeng trpa re, zongzeng da rakpa re, trpa yinba sena zongzengje tsorje, zongwa tan zimba nyeyeba tsorje tokpa tamje chuyeng tokpa mare.
Karasana, So what this means then in practice is that any sort of understanding which is based on or which involves something being perceived and a perceiver is not the nature of phenomena which is being perceived. So, and this process can take place on several levels. It could be, for example, something appearing as a flower to the eye consciousness, in which case perceived and perceiver are involved. And this duality excludes the excludes that as being a realization of the nature of phenomena. Similarly, an appearance could manifest directly to the mental faculty or within the mind, in which case there would also be a perceived object in the mind and a perceiver. And as long as any sort of perceived and perceiver duality is present, we are not talking about this resting in the nature of the mind.
Deyang thar thokpa ne, chuyeng thar thokpa te suk dukre se na, chuyeng thar thokpa ne, deni yewa me pa, rochik du toksu chupa, deni yermi rochik du toksu chupa te khesare, toksu chupa, sanje ji yehi chi, jetawa yendo zegla, chuyeng thar thokpa zegpa re. Loblan na te ye jisu tunpa yodo. Loblan la pe na loban pakpa lan la sa tangbo ni jupe par la loblan re pakpa sa re. Loba lam na te ye jisu tunpa yodo jintun zang yo pa re. Sanje je zikpa ta jisu tunpa zang yo re. Sa tangbo ni jupe par la. Sanje na yin chu yin ta tupa zikpa ma re.
Oh, Dikab says, Loblam Sadampo Nechubamba.
Chetan Loblan Sijeta, Solan, Jolan, Tonlan, Gomlam, Elam Yakala, Loblan Sigre. In a young, so George Cabs, Jibaka, sort of Tokwarawa. Then Satan born and Moyes from the Tokware. In a young, Sanjay Nayin Tartok to Tok, Chuyen Tartok Porto Bomare. Dikab de Loblan de Loban Pakpal Kokore.
So then, the ultimate, consists in the integration of so the ultimate consists in the insight into the nature just as it is by the original knowledge of a Buddha which in not separating the two truths integrates them into one taste. So this is the description of the way in which a Buddha's insight could be defined. And it is defined as the ultimate insight into things as they are, or into the very mode of being. And this insight is through the original knowledge possessed by a Buddha, which integrates the two truths into one taste, not splitting them off from each other, not separating them. And with respect to this, during the path of learning, the type of realization which is present is an approximation to this. What is meant by path of learning here refers to the entire path of the noble beings or the realized ones, extending from the first bodhisattva level up to the tenth. So even though their realization of the suchness is direct, it's a direct realization, nevertheless it is not like the Buddha's. It is an approximation to the way in which the Buddha's insight functions as described here.
Tene sanje je chuyen thartok parthok chu bi jumse kare sana ni nang thulpa ni nang dibzi je tama ni nang thulpa tama pa kya dan ke ba se be se na tene chuyen zopar thok chu re chu ji yin la dibzi je tama cha ban yo ma re tene zopar thok chu Sanje ji chuji yin tartu partu gore. Jumsin karre. Sanje la chuyin la chuji yin la dibzi ji tama yorwa. Dibzi ji tama sanje la ninang turba. Ninang turba pa kya dan kye ba se ba se na dibzi cawa ni yo ma re. Tene zokwar tog su chupa re.
Olasa.
Dibzi ji tama me ba se na zokwar tog su chupa.
Lasa.
Pakwa loba namje zokwar tog su ma chupa karre. Ninang turpa, turpa, tava maze bade. Ninang turpa rakpa se na yang, tava yueba se na, tene zokpa toksu maji bade.
So what is the reason for calling the realization of a Buddha ultimate? The reason is that the Dharma Dhatu, or the expansive qualities, is in its own essence, completely free of any stain. However, at the time when the realization has not been attained, it is obscured by stains, by temporary stains, and a Buddha has completely eliminated all stains along with their traces. Therefore has completed his integration or comprehension. He has insight which is fully complete. Whereas the noble beings dwelling on the levels have still a subtle type of perceived-perceiver duality. So for the Buddha, the stains of perceived and perceiver duality have been eliminated in full, and therefore his insight is complete, whereas the realized bodhisattvas have still a subtle level of perceived-perceiver duality remaining. They have purified the coarse level of perceived-perceiver duality, but the fine traces of it are still remaining.
Sanje ninang, sanje ninang sebe ser chuyen zopar toksu chuy.
Chuyen zopar toksu chuy.
Toksu chuy.
So because a Buddha has eliminated all dualistic appearance, his comprehension of the expansive qualities is complete.
Sopam pakpan namla ne. Ni nang chawa yeba ser chuyen zokpar tomay.
The realized one, since they still have a subtle trace of dualistic appearance, have not completed the comprehension of the expansive qualities. As pertains to defining trades, should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature one dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Pertains to defining trades should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Defining trades should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature.
Lord.
approach as pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three points, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Pertains to defining traits and should be known to consist in a theme involving three powers, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three powers, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature. Pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three powers, because with respect to the nature when dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature.
Lamsang ne to mare jorwa ye nyang yin la tin ko.
So the actual dwelling or resting in the nature of phenomena free of duality and inexpressible is not something that one is able to realize immediately, but one has to rely on the four types of application described in order to arrive at it progressively.
Right.
So, therefore, also we will perform the chanting meditation with respect to the these four applications. Application authentic in its mood. The approach involves a fourfold theme as well. Application involving something to focus on. Application involving nothing to focus on. Application devoid of focus or serving as focus. Application whose focus is nothing to focus on. Pertains to defining traits should be known to consist in a theme involving three parts, because with respect to the nature one dwelt within, there is nothing of two and nothing expressible, which is precisely to dwell in phenomena's nature.
Zungzhenyi nang de thoma me pe Zungzhenyi nang ka pa kya ka top je Turtsur tok pe Chue tam je Me yi nang wa Sem tang zang de tok Chue tam je sem zang je Zungzhen je Dene Zongwa sarir to Semle yendo zongwa sarir to Sarir je tongdo, sarir tongdo mato parto Zongwa sarir tongdo mato pe Junchen la tente Nan zembe semja ranga ngowu mato parto Nan zembe semja ranga ngowu mato pe ser na Zongzhen yi lin de par to. Ne lok tong, ngan sor to kunzob tong, chur chur to zongzhen yi yor ma to, ne sor to zongzhen yi me par to. Zongzhen yi me par to pe, nimi ji chuyeng le ne par. Nimi ji chuyeng le ne par te, de tseni ji kapso, tseni chunyi rang ngogo le ne par tseni dire. Tseni chunyi rang ngogo, zongzhen yi le, ni je, Ni lende pe chu chi ying la ne ba te la, teni chu ni ranga ngogo la ne ba asi li.
So, in terms of the proper progression of the development in this relation, it is through understanding the way in which the confusion or delusion appears due to the habitual tendencies being reinforced and recollected from beginningless births.
that dualistic appearance of perceived and perceiver is experienced. And through understanding that to be delusion, through understanding that to be through understanding that to be a delusion devised by one's own habitual tendencies, one sees that these appearances are not something existing outwardly. And in understanding that they are not objects existing outwardly with a substantial essence of their own, then one understands also that the perceiver of them does not exist with an essence of its own, which is the understanding which transcends dualistic appearance. In resting in this nature, which is beyond the dualism of perceived and perceiver, one then has fulfilled the defining traits as here presented, as being the defining traits connected with resting in the very being of the nature of phenomena. So even though from the point of view of appearance or with respect to the way phenomena appear, there is a dualistic delusion, nevertheless, within its very being, there is no two, there is no dualism of any sort, no matter how subtle, and this being able to stay in that freedom from dualism is to rest in the nature of phenomena.
Mulam trpe na wa ji yin to pakcha wang gi trtsor de ki na chue nam sem sa ni to tok par ni.
So just as the deluded appearances of a dream, if one understands the way in which the delusion occurs in the form of the dualistic appearance, then one will understand, or one will realize that all phenomena are merely mind.
Chunam semtanyi de to chor na zonwa ton de me pa tok par jo.
And through understanding that all phenomena are only mind, one will be able to understand that perceived objects do not exist.
Zonwa rangi me par to chor na zimba rangi me pa tok par jo.
And through realizing that perceived objects do not exist with a substantial essence, one will come to understand that the perceiver does not exist.
Zimba rangi me par to chor na zungze me pa ton lengi hiji.
And through understanding that the perceiver does not exist with a substantial essence, this is the very understanding which is without dualism. And through realizing that which transcends, through realizing the transcendence of perceived and perceiver duality, this is the realization of the nature which is which transcends the duality of perceived and perceiver. And through realizing the nature of phenomena which transcends dualistic clinging, one rests in the nature of phenomena where there are no two.